Isn't it time you lived life on your own terms? If not now, when? Visit abrilliantgamble.com for more information on Blair's new exciting online coaching program. Midlife doesn't have to be a crisis. It's a time to rethink who you are and what you really want from your work, your life, and yourself. Sacrificing your soul stops here. It's time to make some plans, make them happen, and live the life you deserve. With interviews, stories from her own adventures, and expert insights, here's your host, best-selling author, speaker, and coach, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 110 of A Brilliant Gamble. I hope you're very well. Bit of news from Brilliant Gamble HQ, which of course is the dining room in my house in Somerset. We have changed the name of our Facebook group. Now, I thought about this for the last few weeks actually. We still have a Brilliant Gamble page, and I don't know if you know much about Facebook and Facebook groups and pages, but our Brilliant Gamble Facebook page is still a great place to hang out. It's where I'll post information about these podcasts, information about programs that I'm running and courses that I'm running, free resources that I'm making available to download, a whole variety of different things that I think that you might want to know about if you are thinking of taking a Brilliant Gamble of your own. So that's the Facebook page. But we also had a Brilliant Gamble Facebook group, and it's kind of been sitting there with 30 or 40 members, not really doing much. And I'd been sort of copying stuff across from the Brilliant Gamble page onto the Brilliant Gamble group, but you know, what's the point in having a page and a group that basically do the same thing? So I was wondering about what I could do with this group. And the wonderful thing about Facebook groups, and I know this because I'm a member of lots of them, as I'm sure you are, is that they provide a community of people who are basically your tribe. A bunch of people who are interested in the thing that you're interested in. They may be embarking on the journey, or they're already on the journey, or they've completed the journey. So the grey hair groups that I'm part of support people who are transitioning from dyeing their hair to going grey. I'm in lots of home ed groups actually that help people from the very earliest stages of thinking about home ed right through to already doing it. And actually even some people whose kids are now no longer in education, they're out, they're at university or they're working, but they have so much experience and they hang around in the home ed groups to share those experiences with those of us who are less experienced. So that's kind of what a group is good for. And thinking about that, I just thought, well, actually, there isn't very much on Facebook for corporate escapees. So this is people who are currently doing a corporate job, but are thinking they want to say no to the 9-to-5, they want to get off the hamster wheel, and they want a place where they can talk about that, whether they're at the dreaming stage, it's a sort of very far away idea at the moment, but they're thinking they might like to do it, or whether they're actually at the planning stage and they want real expertise and support in taking the actions so that they can actually get out of corporate life, or they're already gone from corporate life, they've already said no to the 9-to-5 and they're starting up their new thing, but of course they need support still to make a success of that so they don't end up going back to corporate with their tail between their legs. So I've changed the name of the Facebook group and it's now called Corporate Escapees. So while not everyone who takes a Brilliant Gamble course is escaping corporate life, I do think that there is a place for a community of people who've done it, who are thinking of doing it, or even, as I've said, just at the dreaming stage, because it's unlikely that if you're in that situation, you know many people who've gone before you. You're mainly going to know people who work in corporate like you. Your colleagues, the people you hang out with most days, are going to be other corporate employees. And it's very difficult to talk to them about your idea that maybe you'd like to leave and do something else for all sorts of reasons, which I'm sure if you're in that situation, you know what the reasons are why you might not want to be honest and open about that. But not only might you not want to be honest and open, they might not get it because they're perfectly comfortable with the corporate life. So I should point out that I am writing in pencil a little bit with this. I've changed the name of the group. I'm going to start posting things up that are for dreamers, planners, or people already escaping corporate life, because there isn't that much like it on Facebook, which does feel like a bit of an oversight. But I may change it back, I may shift and pivot it, but right now I feel quite strongly about it. And this is what I would ask of you. As fans of this show, please could you help me to make it a really useful resource? Please could you share experiences, answer questions, pose questions. If you are at the thinking stage yourself, please tell your story and ask for input. I'm going to be hanging out there a lot, so it's a way that you can access me pretty much in real time. So please do all of that. And of course, please tell your buddies, especially if you know anyone who might want to leave the comfort of corporate and go out there on their own. So go to Facebook, look up Corporate Escapees, and please join, like, share, comment, all those normal things. Which brings me to today's interview. I wonder how many of us fall into a career and then go on to make a real success at it, certainly from an outsider's perspective. And if that's your story, you can be quite a few years into that, making good money and rising up the ranks before you realize that it's not really working for you. That, of course, creates a whole new problem because you realize that your corporate job that you're very successful at and you're doing really well professionally, isn't working for you, and now you've got this big question of what you're going to do next. Well, that's the story for my guest today. I connected with Dav Piper on the Psychology's Life Leap Facebook page, and I explained about that at the start of the interview. She's now a gardener, but until recently, her life was like many people's. She had the commute and the salary that's very hard to walk away from, and a job that didn't really work for her. She was successful by conventional standards, but she'd fallen into her career. And slowly, like so many people, she'd realized that she just didn't want to carry on. And then she had this big question. What on earth should I do next? It was really fantastic to speak to Dav because she describes a very real dilemma. We don't all know what we want to do with our lives. And it's all very well saying we want to get out of corporate life or get out of the rat race and do something we love for a living, but what? So in this interview, we talk about how she found out what she wanted to do and the gentle steps that she's been taking to make it happen. Steps that anyone can take to make that transition a little less risky. I really hope you'll enjoy listening to Dav, whether or not gardening is your thing, doesn't really matter. Everything that she's saying applies pretty much to anything that you might want to do after corporate life. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go over to the interview. Dav, how are you? So good to have you on the show.
Hi, Blair. I'm good, thank you.
I was so fascinated when I came across you and your story because I had posted something up on the Psychology's magazine Life Leap Club. And if people haven't checked it out, they should definitely head over there. Such an amazing community. So this is a community for subscribers of the magazine, and it's so supportive and helpful and huge variety of people on there trying to do something to change their lives. And I had posted something asking if anyone wanted to leave their job and do something else, what was it that they wanted to do and what was stopping them? And I was also interested to hear from people who'd done it and how they'd made it happen. And you were one of the people that responded. And I just thought, let's get you on the show because, you know, you've got such a great story. So maybe you can explain what you were doing, because up until recently, you've had quite a, let's say, a conventional career. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. And I think that's why a lot of people are so interested in what I've done, because I did have a very conventional career as an IT consultant. I made a really good salary. I worked my way up, you know, in the industry quite quickly. So to a lot of people, that is success. I mean, they sort of look at my life and think, well, she's got, you know, the money and got a really solid career. But with sort of conventional jobs like that, does tend to come a lot of responsibility, you know, quite high stress levels. I mean, I was commuting into London every day, and I just started to feel stuck in my life, and money obviously is quite a factor there. A lot of people can't work out then how to get away from the money that you've become accustomed to. So for a long time, I just started getting more and more negative. And I didn't really think that I would ever leave that career. So a couple of years ago, I went to see a life coach, and the goal of that was really to get some tools that I could use to sort of reframe my mindset around work and how to be less negative, try and inject some energy back into my career. But really what happened as a result of that coaching was I gradually came to realise that I didn't want to be doing what I was doing at all. And I'd kind of fallen into it originally, and then been successful, and then, you know, got all this money and lost focus on what I actually, you know, what I wanted. So that was quite a surprise that I didn't get the result that I'd wanted from the coaching. I got a different result. And then really that just presented me with a new problem, because I had no idea what I wanted to do or how to get out or what other careers out there that maybe I could do. So I spent maybe another 6 months to a year sort of frantically looking on the internet, trying to get inspiration for, you know, what the big career change could be. I had this feeling that I had a bigger purpose that I had to find, and it was going to come to me. And if I kept looking and searching, I was going to just wake up one day and realize that this is my purpose. And I think we do see a lot of social media where people have made huge, dramatic, you know, career jumps, and they've gone on to do something incredibly saintly, you know, and it's amazing. And I think that sort of led me astray for quite a while, whilst I was searching for this huge, worldly, you know, giving purpose that I was going to quit everything for. That just made it all harder. But what happened eventually was my health started to suffer, because obviously I was still doing the stressful job, still doing the traveling, still dealing with all the negativity and the, you know, the stuck feeling and the sort of anxiety that comes with that. So yeah, eventually my health started to suffer, and I decided that as an interim step, I would take a slightly lesser job than the one that I was accustomed to, with slightly less responsibility, you know, less money, and that I would take that as a starting to wind down, just to protect my own health. And that was my, you know, that was sort of the end of my former career, really.
What's really interesting about what you've said so far is that everything, almost the way that I'm hearing it, is everything was so huge. So with relatively big money and a relatively big job, there's a lot to lose. You know, there's a lot of financial security to lose. And as you say, you get very used to that. And then there's the status and responsibility and the kind of other people's opinion. You know, you're successful in their eyes, and it's hard to walk away from that. But then the alternative seemed to be that, well, if I'm going to give all this big up, you know, the big money and the big job up, I have to replace it with a big purpose. And the scale of all of that just seems to have been the thing that got you stuck. And maybe taking a bit of a step back in your career loosened things up a little for you. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So taking that that step back. And I stayed in that job for around a year. But clearly that wasn't ticking any of the boxes, that job. For it wasn't, like you said, I'd lost all the status and the money and the responsibility of the really high power job. I hadn't got any of the freedom or any of anything else I wanted from this mid-level job. So that only lasted for about a year. And what happened in the end was I decided to just resign and take a couple of months off. And I had made sure I had enough money just to give me, you know, just a few months to have a break. And this is a sort of turning point then in my leap into my new life, because I gave myself permission to just have a rest and do nothing for a few weeks. But this is sort of the point where I realized, you know, all this time I've been searching for this huge purpose, this like amazing job that I was going to do that's going to serve the world and that sort of thing. And a lot of people had said to me previously, you know, in the year before that, well, what are your hobbies? And I was like, well, I don't really have hobbies because I work so much. But what I hadn't realized was because I work so much and I have such a stressful, you know, city-based job, I was investing a lot of time into my garden to make it into this amazing tranquil retreat. And when I come home at night, I'd go into the garden, have a glass of wine, you know, sit on my decking, and it would be my little sanctuary and the place I could relax in, listen to the birds, you know, the complete opposite to what I was putting up with during the day. So whilst I was having my time off, again, I was enjoying my garden, which I've invested, you know, a lot of time and effort into. But I started helping friends out, just, you know, little things with their gardens, trying to make them better. And I'd been writing a blog as well about growing your own vegetables. And I was getting a lot of feedback from people to the blog, you know, and this kind of made me realise that although I'm not an expert gardener, a lot of people don't even have the faintest idea where to start. You know, they sort of, they'll get a house and they'll keep the garden exactly as it is because they don't know what to do, or they pay someone a lot of money to come in and landscape the whole thing, but they wouldn't do it themselves. Mm. And it just through this blog, I started interacting with more people and realizing that actually I could help. So I started doing that for free. I mean, I took on a couple of elderly relatives, you know, some of my friends where their gardens were overgrown, and I was just doing it to amuse myself while I was off. And that was the start, really. And it's really surprising that after all that soul searching and everything and thinking that I didn't have any hobbies or interests, there was something right there the whole time that was right under my nose, which I'd completely discounted as being a job, you know, being a possible career, but something that I really do love and I'm passionate about and good at, and yeah, it was there the whole time. So
that's incredible. And what surprises me, and I mean, I guess it surprised you as well, is that you had this thing in your life that was so important to you, that gave you so much peace and enjoyment and an outlet, creative outlet. And yet it really took a long time for you to think, I could do this for a living. Was there, I mean, obviously we've talked about you were looking for a big, grand purpose, and that probably put you off the scent a bit. Was there anything else that stopped you considering gardening at that time as a possible new venture for you?
Yeah, I think obviously money is a real factor in a lot of people's decision making. And I think when I was younger, I'd always wanted to work outdoors or work with animals, maybe for a charity. You know, I'm quite into animal rescue and things like that. So, and I think in the past I'd looked at jobs like this and just thought, well, they don't pay enough. You know, I'd made this sweeping decision that actually all the jobs that I would like, if money wasn't an issue, you know, but money is an issue, so they wouldn't work out for me. And I'd stuck with that mindset for quite a long time. And I think in the end, I started to realise that actually you can live with a lot less money than you think you can. You get used to money, having it, you know, you spend what you earn. And also, who says you can't make money out of something that you love doing? You know, but who has put that into my head? And so that I had to challenge that perception, you know, within myself. That was a huge thing, really. And I mean, it is true. I'm earning a lot less than before, and there are difficult times, but the sort of the passion of what you're doing keeps you going through those. Whereas, you know, when I was negative and unhappy, I had plenty of money coming in, but it wasn't solving that underlying, you know, sort of frustration and sadness and everything. Whereas now the underlying thing is passion.
Yeah, that really resonates with me, because I mean, when I left my career as a journalist, I wasn't earning that much. So it wasn't that hard, in fact, for me to replace that income. It didn't take such a long time. But even now, sometimes I have felt, in recent years, I've felt that, oh, I've got used to a certain amount of income and I have to work very, very hard to earn that income. But if I worked less hard, could I live on the money? I mean, I just think it's a constant kind of concern about how much money you need. But actually cutting your costs right back, being creative about what you can live on, does seem to be liberating, certainly temporarily. You know, I'm not sure I would ever advise somebody to aim low in terms of their income, but needing less can definitely be freeing. What are some of the changes that you've made in your life to so that you have a little bit more freedom around money?
Yes, I completely agree with what you said about don't aim low. That's really important. And something that I would say to people is, I do support people starting a business as a side, you know, as a side venture and keeping their main job. But if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that the business is viable and it actually makes money, and you're not subsidizing it through your main job or another means. I mean, obviously, every business is difficult in the first year or two. So what I have done is gone through all of my bills and outgoings. I mean, obviously, some things that you can't negotiate, like council tax, for example, is fixed. But you'd be surprised with a lot of things. If you go and look at your electricity company, you know, your mortgage, all those little things that go out that you don't think about, like your car breakdown. You know, I systematically went through every single outgoing and rang up the companies and said, look, I can't afford this anymore, so give me a better deal or I'm going to leave. And you'd really be surprised how much you can actually cut down when you think you're okay, you know. Other things, I've made some space in my house so that I could have a lodger. So, you know, just to have a little bit of backup income. So it's not subsidizing my business, but it's just a little bit of a security thing that, you know, to have that extra money coming in. And yeah, so no huge changes really. I mean, I'm still in my same house. I've still got a mortgage. Yeah, I looked at some of the things I was paying out on, like I had an interest-free credit card, and I realized I could just reduce my monthly payments a bit on that, and I'll still pay it off within the, you know, the timescales and things like that. But I think really going through everything with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, and of course it's going to be different for everyone, isn't it? But it's interesting that, because, you know, in some cases someone might really, really need to get it very, very skinny in order to be able to support themselves in the early days. But it's so interesting to look at that. And you're right, you do end up accumulating. I mean, for instance, we were on the highest, you know, we had a TV package and it was the highest package that they do. And it included loads of channels that we don't watch just for the odd, you know, big sporting event or something, which really, frankly, I could do without. And so now we have a very, very minimal package and we watch a lot of streaming. So we don't need all those movie channels and all of that because we just do it a different way. And it's just fascinating to see where can you just, in a sense, be a little bit more responsible because every penny that you earn, you've really had to work for, and therefore you really want it to go somewhere that you think is important. Whereas in a job with a salary, maybe you don't feel quite that way about the money that you're earning.
Yeah, I think that's it. When you've got a regular income, you can afford to be a little bit less tight on checking on everything. But yeah, putting your financials in order. I mean, I renegotiated my mortgage as well, which was a help. So doing that before you make any big moves, I think it's just a really good idea, just to get thoroughly, you know, involved in what you spend and where it goes. That was good for me because it gave me the confidence to know, like, I only need to get this much money as a basic income to pay for everything, you know, and that gave me a really clear target. And I'd say within the first 6 months, I was almost there. I was relying a little bit on savings and, you know, money from lodgers and things like that. But within the first 6 months, because I knew exactly what my base earning had to be, it gave me something to really focus on. So I would say that to people, like, work out what you need to earn, and then that's what you can aim, you know, that's what you can aim for as a minimum.
Yeah.
And then that's a viable business, that's supporting your life. So that's fantastic. And if you can get there, you know, the quicker you can get to that basic number, you feel such an achievement that, you know, then you can carry on.
And so how did it go from helping a few friends and elderly relatives to you starting to charge for it? Because in a way, that's quite a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. So I think the best advice I can give people here is I had a feeling that I might want to take it further. So I started volunteering at the National Trust in a sort of more of a woodland management sort of role than strictly a gardener, because it's an arboretum and they don't really have flower beds and it's all trees. But working there once a week gave me some sort of formal training, like using machinery, health and safety. And that, I think, is a really good way for a lot of people to get experience of something they might want to do, is to find a voluntary role. And then off the back of that, I applied to an advert that wanted a self-employed gardener 3 days a week. And I said, well, look, I haven't got much experience, but I am a volunteer at the National Trust. And I've, you know, had all this training on machinery. And I do some private gardens in my spare time. Is that good enough? And that was enough just to get me a foot in the door with, you know, with this little company. So, and that's how it started, really.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to do it, because what a lot of people would try to do is to turn their free clients into paying clients. And I can see that being quite a big shift for people when you have been doing it for free and now you're going to start charging. So actually a new client, in a sense, and starting charging them seems to make quite a lot of sense, particularly as they were willing to pay. I mean, they were advertising. And where did you find that ad? Where was it?
I was just regularly looking on, so maybe going onto Google and typing in, you know, gardening jobs in the local area, only out of my interest, really, just to see what they paid. And I was still actually in that mindset of, I'm just investigating at the moment. And then I just saw one advert. I think it might have been on Indeed. And I thought, oh, that, you know, that sounds like they're not asking for too much experience. And obviously the money was quite low, but I thought, well, I can't see anything in this advert that makes me think I couldn't do it. And they wanted a CV, but I just sent them a friendly email saying that this is the situation. There's no point in me sending you a CV because it won't be relevant to anything that you want. This, you know, my CV is for my old job. Also, that's a really good thing for, I think, for people to do is to, if you've got a sort of idea of what you might want to do, is to just look at job adverts coming up and see, you know, what they're asking for, what their pay is like. So it was really not planned. I just found that advert whilst I was sort of doing my little bit of nosing around, you know, in my spare time on the internet. So,
yeah. And then you went for it. I mean, I think that's one of the things that, you know, in a way, that's the make or break, isn't it? Is I've seen something, am I going to put myself forward? And I think that there's a part of all of us that thinks, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to get it. What's the point? I haven't got the right experience. I don't meet the criteria. But you didn't listen to any of that. you wrote the email anyway and just said that this is who I am and I'd really love to do it. And it turned out great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the volunteering gave me a bit of confidence because I'd gone already once into a sort of unknown territory for me with that, you know, because obviously they do interview you, but it's not a job. So that was a little sort of starter into putting myself out there and saying to people, look, I want to do this, and seeing what they said. And I've also got a little Saturday job at a garden centre, and that came around in a similar sort of way, that I just saw the advert and I thought, do you know what, at the moment a Saturday job would be a little bit of regular income, but again, you know, they wanted a CV, and I did the same thing. I just contacted them and said, look, I think this would really suit me. I think it'd be good for you as well because I know about gardening. Yeah, and that you know, the really informal sort of approach, and that worked out good. I mean, they normally have students, so they were quite surprised to have like a middle-aged woman who wanted to do their Saturday work. But it's really, you know, they're really happy, and I really enjoy that job actually.
Yeah, so the Saturday job thing, that's very interesting, because again, I wonder if there is a kind of ego bit, especially when you get there and you see it's all youngsters, that says, oh, hang on a minute, I shouldn't be having a Saturday job at this point in my life. But you need to do whatever you need to do, don't you, to actually enable you to live the dream.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you're going to be faced with time and time again, is challenging your own perceptions of how you've pegged yourself into where you should be in life. I mean, I actually love that job. It's just, you know, it's so rewarding, and I really love chatting to all the people about, you know, what they're doing in the gardens, and you know, they seem happy that they've got someone a bit more mature that actually, you know, because I guess a lot of A-level students don't actually have a garden, so they're not really interested. I mean, they'll stand on the till and just sell stuff, but they don't interact as much with people. And yeah, so I mean, it's true. There is moments when I think, what am I doing? But mostly, once you let go of, you know, once you try to let go of those thoughts of where you should be, because there is no should be, really.
Where did you go from there? You accepted the job for 3 days. How have you grown the business from that point?
So I think then once you've decided that this is going to be a business, then that's the sort of point where normal business stuff has to start. So, I mean, I'm quite fortunate. I built my own website because I could, but I mean, I know a lot of people now then start to stumble when they have to get round to the actual sort of admin of stuff. You know, you need a website. Even a business, I think, like gardening, definitely need some sort of social media page. So I set up a Facebook page. I mean, I haven't really spent a lot of time on Facebook at the moment because I don't see that as a marketing channel really for what I'm offering. But I think with any business, a lot of people will want to, in this day and age, they want to go and verify who you are. You know, they want to look at your website, they want to look at your Facebook page, just to go and get a sense of, you know, what the services that you're offering, but also you as a person, like as an identity. I think that's just sort of second nature to people now, is the first thing they'll do is go and look you up. And, you know, maybe not so much the very elderly generation, but I mean, most normal people, that's their first port of call now, I think, is they think they might want to engage with you. So I'm sort of doing this, you know, this 3 days a week, which is self-employed, still got a couple of people that I was helping out. And then I started really focusing on trying to form it into a business, and started looking at things like insurance, and I bought a van, and I started to invest in tools and making the whole thing look a bit more professional. And that was really important, because that gave me the confidence then to actually go out and quote to people. And you know, that is a really hard thing to do when you've got no experience of quoting, and you know, you've got to decide how long it's going to take you to do different aspects of work. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a sort of then an interim period of at least a few months where I wasn't quite established enough, and I didn't have the confidence to really go after work. And I would sort of get recommendations through friends, which I think is a really good place to start, actually. If you tell all of your friends and family, or just your Facebook friends, right, this is what I'm doing now, I'd say a lot of my early inquiries have come via friends of friends, or through people that I had helped for free. You know, they've said, oh, I know someone that does gardening. They became good in the end, you know, even the work I've done for free, because now those people know that I am doing it as a profession. They're still happy to sort of repay the work, you know, that I've done by recommending me on. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, the first thing is to make the decision that it's going to be a business, and then start to format everything like you would a proper business, and get yourself a logo, a website, a Facebook page, and all of those things can be done quite easily, you know. And I did it a little bit at a time, just, you know, one day I'd sit and look at logos, and then the next week I'd look at websites. And you can use sites like Fiverr, or quite often I just ask my Facebook friends, does anyone do you know, does anyone use Adobe Illustrator? And then somebody will come back and go, oh, I do. Do you need a hand? And I think when you're first starting out, that's fine. But just try and put the sort of framework in. You know, I bought some accounting software because I wanted to start like I meant to go on. So, yeah, I'd say that to people. Don't obsess about advertising and marketing and all that to start with, because you can just start small through recommendations, or, you know, even friends and family. Like, you know, obviously even my mum's paid me to do a few jobs since I've started, because that's a really good thing. You know, that's a really good thing, is to just tell people what you're doing and then let it go from there. But don't overthink it, I think, is the thing.
I remember when I was starting out, someone said to me, all the money that you'll ever need is in the pockets of the people you know, or the people they can introduce you to. And so yeah, when there was recession or whatever, I would think to myself, yeah, but I don't need all the money that exists in my whole industry. I just need enough for my needs. So I'm not going to take any notice of the fact that there's a recession, because it doesn't really affect me. All the money I need is already in the pockets of the people I know, or the people they can introduce me to. And it's that kind of manageability of it, the scale of it. Of course you can grow a multi-million pound gardening empire if you want. But if you don't want, you can just make sure that you're doing things at your pace, and that you're making enough money for your lifestyle. And, you know, you grow it from there.
Yeah, so I think my only next step really in marketing, because at the moment I'm actually sort of doing 3 full days a week and the garden centre, and then I like to spend a day sort of working on the business stuff. So I'm almost doing really like a full-time job now. So my next step, I think, is to target some actual you know, drive around and look at some where some houses are that I think have gardens that are big enough to warrant a gardener, and just put some cards through the door. And I think that's the kind of level of marketing that I'm going to stick at for now, because you don't need, I don't need 100,000 people. I only need 5, or, you know, it's that simple, really, just to aim for enough to fill my days as they are, and then go from there.
And just to wrap up, Dav, what is the best thing about what you're doing now compared with the way that you used to work and live?
Well, obviously, the best thing for me is being outside in nature and not in an office, which is something that I always felt that I wanted, but had always never thought would be achievable as a job. And then a close second to that, I think, is having more freedom. And I think getting closer to the life sort of lifestyle that I want to live is really important. You know, I want to be able to have flexibility in my day. I want to be able to decide how I'm going to spend my time and what work I'm going to do. And at the moment, obviously, I'm slightly committed because I've taken on some fixed work to get income at the moment. But, you know, the goal is to let those jobs go and have full control over my time, which in my mind, I think I'll have a much better life than before, when I had to go to an office, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and I was committed, you know, to following someone else's schedule. So that's it. I think that those two things is, A, you know, sort of the healthiness of being outside and being physical and enjoying nature, but also the freedom.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, I wish you all the best. Where can people find you? You mentioned your website. Where can people find you and follow your blog and see the beautiful photos of the work that you're doing?
So my website is www.pipergardens.co.uk. My Facebook page is at Piper Gardens. And if you want to check out my blog about growing vegetables, that's at www.citysalad.co.uk.
Love that. Brilliant. Dav, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
What a lovely lady. I really enjoyed talking to her, and it really got me thinking about what would have happened to me if I hadn't found the thing I wanted to do before I left my corporate career. I came across coaching while I was still at the BBC, and I left the BBC knowing that that was what I wanted to do. And of course, it's pivoted and changed and evolved over the last 20 years. But I had that security of, I know I'm leaving to do a very specific thing. But talking to Dav really made me think, gosh, what would I have done if I really was so uncomfortable, so unhappy with what I was doing at the BBC, and yet I had no idea what to do instead. So I hope you found that as interesting as I did. You can find out more about Dav at pipergardens.co.uk. Visit her Facebook page, just at Piper Gardens. And as she mentioned, her blog is www.citysalad.co.uk. She also mentioned Fiverr, which is a website where you can buy services like logos and website design and all sorts of things, basically for a fiver. So check that out too. It's just Fiverr with double R at the end, so fiverr.com. I'll put all those links in the show notes, so do have a look at that and go and check her out and have a little look at Fiverr. That's it for this week. We'll be back again next week. Please do stay in touch. Please head over to Corporate Escapees on Facebook. And if you haven't joined the group as was, the Brilliant Gamble group, then please join Corporate Escapees. Tell your story. Please comment on posts and things so that it feels like a really vibrant community to people who really, really need it. With information about our courses and other ways to stay in touch with me, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at www.thebrilliantgamble.com. There There you can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog. And on our coaching and classes page, you can find out more about the Brilliant Gamble personal development programs to help you navigate your way through the minefield of life, career and change. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Brilliant Gamble and on our Brilliant Gamble Facebook page. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of